shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town, WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't mean maybe. 9 to 5,
welcome to Nocturnal Journal on this Saturday night. We got a great show. We've got Steel Crazy, a 10-piece steel drum band coming at 10 o'clock. Our nocturnal journey is going out to Whittier, California and doing Oceanic Arts. And our first guest, our leadoff man, our Nelly Fox, is Tony Fitzpatrick. Great artist, poet, writer. I won't say, you know, my
say
favorite
word.
Rock on
say
tour, Chicago's greatest rock on tour. Thanks for coming in. I know you've had a busy week, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to, though. You know, I mean, especially with the advent of the van. Your van is coming.
We're getting there. I'm kind of keeping it on the down low, but
your
thank you.
Radio broadcast nookie wagon coming through.
We're doing a farewell show. We're going to go on the road in June, so on 6-4, we're going to do a little send-off show. But, yeah, it's a little transit van. I'm going to write a book and maybe send some interviews to Dan Long from the road. And thank you so much for giving us birds for the van.
Oh, absolutely, man.
It's called the Bluebird.
You know, I know they were a big part of your late mom's life.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
she
loved birds, so I mean, I'm happy to do it.
And we've got some little birds inside that the guys who designed the van made them little pen holders and stuff. So it's gonna be a nice ride, as they say.
Cool.
But about you,
I will have to make one of those road trips with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Kansas City again.
Yeah, that was a great trip, wasn't it?
Yeah, that sure was.
We saw Satchel Paige's grave.
And Buck O'Neill spent an hour in his living room talking to him, one of the most erudite, kind, lovely gentlemen you would ever meet.
Oh, man, you're right. I don't know why.
So
you know how I feel about the Hall of Fame. I don't know why they kept him out while he was alive. He's still not in. They gave him a statue or a plaque or something, but he's not really a member of the Hall of Fame.
He has the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he just did so much for baseball. You know?
Precisely. I mean, he was such an ombudsman. He made life so much easier for Ernie Banks when Ernie came to the Cubs. I mean, Buck was the guy who recruited him. Buck was the guy who spotted him.
Yeah, just such a gentleman.
Yeah.
Really
lovely guy. Remember that morning? I mean, he came down the stairs, sharp green suit, pearl tie, neck pin. I mean, this guy could have been the CEO of a big corporation or a bank. I mean, he was just an absolute gentleman.
Carried himself with a lot of dignity.
Great guy. I met a few of those guys. I met Cool Papa Bell. I met Buck O'Neill. I mean, I was very fortunate to be on this earth when they were still there.
So I got to tell you, I went to your opening Thursday night at the DePaul Art Museum for the Secret Birds. And first of all, it was such a great – I've never been to that space – such
what,
a wonderful,
what a
wonderful space.
Museum. And you know what? They don't charge.
Well, that's what
admission.
I was going to say. You know,
and it's not downtown in the mall. Yeah. You know, it's in a neighborhood. A kid can get off the L, walk into that museum for nothing, and see art.
When I walked in, right on the front window, right front door, it says, you know, free and open to everyone.
Exactly.
What a great vibe. You know, how welcoming.
I mean, it's something that all of the other museums in this country, not just this city, could learn a great deal from. It's completely ecumenical. I mean, I've loved that museum since its inception.
And tell me how you hooked up with them. How did this show?
You know, I had a show at DePaul when they first became a museum, when they were still part of the university before they had a standalone museum in 2003. And they told me, you know, at some point we're getting a standalone building. And we'd love to revisit you. We'd love for you to come back. And, you know, at the same time, about a year ago when I was still recovering from my heart surgery, the birds just became all the more important to me. It became a much bigger body of work, much bigger pieces. And Laura Fatimi, who is the assistant curator of the DePaul Art Museum, offered me a show. And I thought, boy, if I'm ever going to do a big institutional show, this is where to do it, where everyone is welcome, where nobody is charged an admission. And it was a blessing that I got to do it. And my mom is 91. She got to come to the opening.
I talked to her.
And honestly, it was kind of my mom's show, you know?
Yeah.
It, You know, really a tribute to all of the older people who helped me make it to adulthood.
I went and talked to her. She was sitting on that bench in that other room, and I thought about this. I wrote this down when I got home. I mean, she almost was sitting in a world of a sense of wonder. There was such a, her eyes were so open. She was just taking it all in. She was just, and obviously she talked about how proud she was of you, but she was just, there was a sense of wonder about her. It was just beautiful.
Well, you know, I mean, birds and me and my mother go way back.
Yeah.
They were the first things I ever drew. It's a long, long journey. You know, it's a dialogue that we've had for, you know, close to the 57 years I've been alive, you know.
She told me a great story. I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't know if she's listening, but she said she, you know, we all came to see you in the hospital.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm sure you know this story. She said she was packed up her holy water and
her rosary.
In her rosary. And she said, I know she talked to a doctor or something. She goes, why don't you trade me? He goes, I know where I'm going. I'm not so sure about him. She pointed at you. So, I mean, the reason I bring that up, and I've known you since you were by the – we talked about your days at the Ovaltine factory there in Villa Park next door. But what was it like growing up? What was it like? It was tough. I mean, you did some crazy things.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble. I put my parents through a lot of hell. You know, I had problems with drugs and alcohol, and luckily got past that. But I did not like authority. I didn't like school. I was invited to attend other schools by many schools, you know, but I knew that I was a little different, and that I liked drawing. You know, one of the reasons we called it the Secret Birds is for about the first 4 or 5 years I drew pictures. I didn't really show them to anybody, you know.
Why?
You know, I don't know. You know,
you're not shy.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. And really wasn't back then. Mm-hmm. More like it was something that just kind of strictly belonged to me, you know. I talked to my friend John Hogan about this. His father gave me all those amazing matchbooks that I used and am still using in all of these pieces. And his dad used to tell me he wasn't much for school either, and he didn't like being told what to do. So I was kind of the natural inheritor of those matchbooks. And when I looked at them, that was kind of his way of keeping history. And drawing those pictures in my notebooks and ignoring the teachers, and that was kind of my way of keeping history, you know. You know, Albert Camus has this quote that every artist eventually circles and cycles back to the one or two images that open their hearts up. And I believe that. I mean, especially since, you know, I'd had an iteration of the show open before my heart surgery. And the plan was to move to New Orleans. And after my heart surgery, I made up my mind about two things. You know, I'm not leaving the city till Rahm's gone, number one. And number two, I didn't want to be away from the place that I think is the greatest story I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago is that narrative. It is poetic, luminous, unrelentingly cruel, but it is.
It's cold
ongoing...
in May. It's cold and dreary.
Yeah, exactly.
In May 14th,
we're freezing our ass off.
Yeah,
but you know what? It is. It is an ongoing narrative that I never lose interest in. You know, a lot like New Orleans. I mean, I never lose interest in the history of that great place. So I mean, growing up, I looked
both
out
places
the window
right
a
now.
Lot.
Both places. Right now,
we're in trouble.
Extreme violence. Yeah.
We're all in trouble. And let's face it, until this country, until we realize, you know, the NRA should not be allowed to lobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
The right to bear arms does not extend to, you know, automatic weapons. You know, if you need to have a rifle and prove that, you know, you're a big He-Man and go out and shoot a deer. Oh, yeah, okay, so be it.
But
the traffic in handguns, I mean, I honestly think that Rahm Emanuel and the city of Chicago should sue the state of Indiana and the state of Wisconsin for the lax loopholes in the gun show laws. Mm-hmm. I think we should bring a class action suit on behalf of the 400 people who died of gunfire in this city last year.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those birds I make for them, you know.
Yeah. When did the... Well, first of all, I want to get to the show. There's about 100 pieces in the show. And
yeah.
Maybe 60 new ones.
Yeah.
Is that, that's what I heard.
Yeah. I thought this is probably the last time I'm going to do a big institutional show. You know, I wanted it to be the one that had everything I had to say about what was wonderful about the world, what intrigues me, what still bears mystery, what I am still fascinated by, and birds are a big part of that. Next month I go back to work on a television show called Patriot, which will be on Amazon Prime. The pilot is already out. And I go on to a different job,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still going to make my work every day that I'm not working on the show, but... As for the career and galleries and all that business, I'm done with it, you know.
We got to take a break for some spots. And I want to come back and talk a little bit about process and imagination
sure.
after this. Okay, so don't go away with Mr. Tony Fitzpatrick here on Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. We're here with Tony Fitzpatrick, and we're talking about his book and the new show that just opened up at the DePaul Art Museum, 935 West Fullerton, right underneath the L tracks, called The Secret Birds.
I so love that it's next to the L.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's
so cool.
It's great.
You know?
Easy to get to. Yeah.
I was there this morning with Drew Lanham, who's one of the premier ornithologists in the country. He's from South Carolina. And he just loved the room. I mean, he just absolutely loved the DePaul Museum. They really have it. And, you know, there's also a great show upstairs for me of the fine Chicago artist Barbara Rossi, who is one of those artists I have looked at since I was a young man. I mean, she's just astonishingly great.
Can you talk about birds and imagination, how imagination affects your work? And I must say, again, it's a personal thing. I mean, since my parents passed last year, I hear them. And when I go to the cemetery, I don't know if I'm being hokey, but sometimes
I feel
them. And, you know, so talk about how imagination and birds feed your work.
It started when I was about 5 years old. My dad had a heart attack, and my grandmother came to help my mother. There were 8 kids, and every morning she'd toast up some bread and sometimes even put jelly on and scrunch it all up and throw them out in the backyard for the birds, and lifted the window a little bit and said, just listen, you know. And I began to hear it. I began to hear the hundreds of different voices, birds. She said, for a piece of bread, you can hear God sing.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. That always stayed with me. Also, whenever I got in trouble as a kid, which was, you know, every day, once in a while I'd draw my mother a cardinal or a rabbit, you know, I'd be out of trouble. She'd blame the nuts, you know. But, you know, this show also, I'd have never gotten to do it without my wife, Michelle.
Yeah.
You know, gave me the 2 baby aspirin when I was having that heart attack. You know. And if I were her, you know, I mean, I can be really disagreeable. I might have just given me some Skittles, you know. Yeah. Eat these, you know.
Well, you're looking good. I mean, you were on the show right when we started the show, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Remember you and I went in the car, we went over to see Anthony at Three Aces.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You were having a hard time getting in and out of the car. You've lost weight. You're taking really good care of yourself.
Yeah, lost 80 pounds. I had some problems with tendonitis in both feet and plantar fasciitis. You know, 2 years ago, my tendons were happily surrounded by fat. Well, now they're not.
Yeah.
And So it's an adjustment. I mean, my surgeons even told me, look, it's going to be about 2 years before you begin to feel like yourself. And because of my cardio rehab nurses, Mary Caffarelli, who, you know, put me through an exercise regimen and helped me lose weight, and the people at St. Mary's and St. Elizabeth, just they restored me to life.
It's right in our neighborhood, right there.
Yeah.
By Wicker. Yeah. Is it Wicker?
Yeah, they're the greatest. They're in Ukrainian Village. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the time we have left, I want to plug the book from our friends at Curbside Splendor. Is this out yet, or are we going to have a book release
party? Yeah, it's
just out
now. Okay. But I'm thinking that we'll have the book release party with you.
Yeah. That would be
we
quite a party.
We should both have one together. Yeah.
Disco Demolition.
You know, I have basically rocked the house at Fitzgerald's for a lot of book parties.
Yeah.
I would love to combine it with you guys.
Yeah, we got you in the disco book.
Oh, yeah.
Interviewed you. But Secret Birds, Tony Fitzpatrick, Curbside Splendor, and you got Helen McDonald, author of H's for Hawk, to do the foreword. I just want to read a little bit about this.
Who is such a lovely person.
This is great. And if you can just expand on this in the time we have left. She writes here, really great art keeps beginning. That's what his bird portraits do. Meaning flows from them unceasingly and generously. Hope, folklore, myth, history, and deep political and personal significances. But, I mean, I like this thing about great art keeps beginning.
Yeah.
You've done that.
Always.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is that hard?
I think that, I think especially when you approach something as broad of a subject as birds, you know, we always think of nature as something 300 miles away. It's not. The minute you walk out your door in Chicago, you're in the middle of one of the most complex, fascinating ecosystems that's out there.
My guy,
what's happening right now is that the sky is falling and it's full of birds.
I was at the Cubs game today, and the guy next to me was just amazed. The seagulls are coming in real early. They're coming in like the third inning.
The seagulls come to eat the hot dogs and the peanuts. Right, yeah. They're opportunistic feeders, you know, and they're not chumps. But we do have a crisis right now with birds, pesticides have crawled back into the mix with these seeds. And they kill the bugs, and the birds eat the bugs. They kill the bees, which is also a huge crisis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the one thing I'm not hearing in any of this presidential campaign dialogue is, who's going to make sure that this world is habitable in the next 20 years? Yeah. I mean, you know, when they begin to start to trade water as a commodity, that somebody thinks they own it,
yeah.
You know?
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for coming in
on a busy night.
And I want to tell people to get out to the show. It's just a great welcoming space at the DePaul Museum.
Yeah, they're so great. 935 West Fullerton. And
the companion
book. I'll be around there a lot. Yeah. You know?
Oh, you will?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the companion book, The Secret Birds on Curbside Splendor.